following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Warm greetings to you all. On today's program, we're pleased to have with us a longtime servant of Jesus Christ. Many of our regular viewers and also subscribers to Tomorrow's World magazine are well acquainted with him. John O'Gwynn continues to write inspiring articles for Tomorrow's World magazine on Bible prophecy and Christian living. His deep knowledge of history and the Bible will help you understand today's issues in the light of biblical truth. As one of our representatives working throughout the United States, John continues to be an effective, faithful minister to the people he serves. Those of you who are studying our Bible study course are also acquainted with John because he's the main author. We're privileged today to hear from our friend and colleague and guest speaker, Mr. John O'Gwynn. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World, the Living Church of God, presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, guest presenter John O'Gwynn asks, "What is man? A search for answers." And now, John O'Gwynn.
Well, greetings, friends. We live in a time of a knowledge explosion. There's been incredible scientific and technological advances that have been made in our lifetime. Man has done everything from map the human genome to clone animals. We've invented supercomputers and microchips. Yet for all of man's amazing scientific discoveries, we still can't solve humanity's most basic problems. The Middle East has traditionally been called the cradle of civilization. Yet that cradle of civilization threatens to drag the world into a war that could literally wipe out civilization. In the closing decades of the 19th century, many of the educated elite assumed that religion would fade away. It would simply no longer be needed in the upcoming 20th century, they assumed. Scientific progress held the answers. At least that was what they thought. That, of course, was not the case. In fact, it's interesting, at the dawn of the 21st century, a recent Gallup poll showed that in the United States, one of the most highly educated, one of the most prosperous nations on earth, over 90% of the population says that they believe in God. Over half attend weekly church services. 69% say that religion plays a very important role in their lives. Yet, when we look at today's world, it's pretty evident that neither man's science nor his religions have been able to solve all of the world's problems. In fact, neither science nor religion has been able to provide real answers for the most fundamental questions of life. They're unable to adequately and completely answer the question, what is man? Oh, there are all sorts of ideas that are brought out. There are two primary approaches. The scientific worldview is based on the theory of evolution. This theory holds that man is simply an animal. He's evolved from lower animals and is merely a mortal, temporal creature, that he's a product of accident rather than design, just simply the result of evolution. Organized religion the world over agrees in general with the statement that man is an immortal soul. So here are two different views. Now the problem, of course, is that both of these views originate from the ideas of human beings. There's only one source that can tell you what is man. That source is the Creator's instruction book. Because the answer to that question is not one that a scientist can arrive at in a laboratory. It's not one that a philosopher or a thinker can come up with just by sitting around and coming up with his idea. What virtually no one understands is the fact that there is a spiritual creation as well as a physical creation. And this is fundamental to understanding the question of what is man. The ancient King David was a young man who grew up as a shepherd. Later, he was a warrior, a military man. He spent a lot of time out of doors, spent a lot of times camping under the stars in the Judean countryside. And as he spent those evenings and looked up at the heavens, he thought and mused on certain topics. He records many of those in the Psalms. In Psalm 8, as David was thinking about the stars, the great multitude of galaxies, the heavens above, as he looked up, he wrote in Psalm 8, verse 3, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him? The son of man that you visit him? You've made him a little lower than the angels, and you've crowned him with glory and honor." As David looked up into the heavens, as he looked at the great magnitude of the stars, of the galaxies, and he considered the tiny insignificance, as it were, of little tiny human beings in the midst of all of this vastness of God's creation. And David asked himself the question, what is man? Why is God conscious of man? Why does God focus on man? Little tiny man in the midst of all of the vastness of space. Well, the answer as to why God focuses on man is given right back in the book of Genesis. David, of course, was very familiar with the book of Genesis. He was familiar with the books of Moses. The book of Genesis begins, chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The earth is not an accident. Creation is not an accident. Our solar system, the various aspects of our planet that support life, these things are not accidents. God created the heavens and the earth. Now, a little further, in verse 26 of Genesis 1, we're told that God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. The great God made man to be like him. Man was made of the dust of the ground. We're told in Genesis 2 and verse 7 that the eternal God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. He became a living, breathing creature. Now, I mentioned earlier that the general idea of most of the world's religions is that man is an immortal soul. Do you realize the words immortal soul are never found in the entirety of your Bible? You can search the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You'll never find the word immortal soul or immortality of the soul. You'll never find the statement the soul is immortal. The Hebrew word that is translated soul in Genesis 2:7 is the same word that is used in Genesis 1 to refer to fish and birds and animals. The Hebrew word nephesh has to do with a creature, a living creature. God breathed into Adam's nostrils, and Adam became a living soul. He became a living, breathing creature. The physical completion of Adam was what took place at that time. Adam was created physical. He was given life. But that was not the conclusion of the creation. God made man in his own image. But the ancient patriarch Job recorded a question. Job 14:14, the question is raised, "If a man die, shall he live again?" That's something people have wondered. Those who teach the immortality of the soul assume that Really, death isn't really death, that life automatically continues on beyond the grave. And yet God told Adam, dust thou art. You are dust. To the dust you're going to return. Adam was a living, breathing creature. If a man die, shall he live again? That, of course, brings us to wondering about what is man. Is man merely a creature of the moment? Well, Job was inspired to record that answer. If a man die, shall he live again? Job went on to write, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. You will call and I will answer you. You will have a desire to the work of your hands. Job understood that there was a spiritual creation in progress. God intends to complete the spiritual creation. Now, what's going to be the result? What is man? What is his ultimate destiny? God will have a desire to the work of his hands, but do we understand what the conclusion of that is to be? Do we understand where that is going? Frankly, don't be too sure that you know the answer to that question. I want to offer you at this time a free booklet, Your Ultimate Destiny. This booklet will go into depth about many of the things we're talking about on today's program. This booklet will help you understand what is man? Why is man? What is the purpose of human existence? This booklet, Your Ultimate Destiny, will help explain to you and make plain right out of the pages of your Bible the very purpose of human existence. So pick up the phone right now and order your own free copy of Your Ultimate Destiny.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free, no cost, no obligation, if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now let's look more closely at the answers the Bible reveals about what man is. We've certainly seen that there's a physical creation. That physical creation was completed millennia ago. However, there's also a spiritual creation. That spiritual creation is now in progress. The Apostle Paul talks about the spiritual creation in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Notice verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he has before ordained that we should walk in them. The Apostle Paul discusses this same topic in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A new creation, a spiritual creation. You know, going back to the statements that the Apostle Peter made in Acts chapter 2 on the very beginning of the New Testament church. On that day of Pentecost, Peter told his audience when they asked, what shall we do? They believed his message. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit would be poured out. Now, that Holy Spirit is poured out for a reason. Jesus told his disciples the very evening prior to his crucifixion, the evening of his final Passover. He told them, it's expedient for you that I go away. It's for your benefit, because if I go, I will send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what he did do 10 days after his ascension into heaven. The Apostle Peter explains in Hebrews chapter 8, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Eternal. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds, and I'll be to them a God, and they'll be to me a people." It is through the Holy Spirit that God's laws are being placed, God's very way of living, God's character, God's holy righteous character is being developed in us. Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter 4 when he explains a little further on this topic. In Ephesians chapter 4, we'll pick it up in verse 17. The church at Ephesus was primarily consisting of people from a Gentile background. Now, the Greeks in Ephesus was a Greek city, a Greek-speaking city. The Greeks prided themselves on their intellectual knowledge. They prided themselves in those areas of intellect, of the academic world. They were the givers of education and culture. Now, Paul wrote to the brethren in Ephesus, he said, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, no longer motivated by the same approach that they used to have, that their neighbors had, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." They didn't know God. They didn't understand the plan and purpose. They didn't understand what is man. Oh, they had their ideas. But those ideas didn't come from the Bible. They came from the Greek philosophers. They came from Plato, from Socrates, from Aristotle. Many of them drew on the myths of Egypt and Babylon. But those things, those sources, are not a source of genuine knowledge. The only real answer can come from God. In verse 22, "that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, that is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." You see, there's a spiritual creation. God is developing His righteous character in us. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul talked about the fact that we're not to be conform to this world. We're not to fit in and take our identity from the world around, but rather, he said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, "be you transformed by the renewing of your mind." There is a spiritual renewal that is to take place. God's very character being written and inscribed in our hearts, in our minds. The very nature of God being developed in us through a combination of revealed knowledge of God's ways, the opportunity of life experience, and the working of God's Holy Spirit. Remember, we saw earlier in the book of Ephesians that we are His workmanship. We're being renewed. We're becoming a new creation. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6, the Apostle Paul writes, "But one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man, that you're mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that you visit him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. You set him over the works of your hands. You've put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that's not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him." Man was created to inherit all things. Man was created to be given rulership, dominion. Hebrews 2 and verse 5, "For unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak." Tomorrow's world is not going to be governed and ruled by angels. Rather, it is to be governed and ruled by man. But not mortal man pursuing his own ways and doing his own thing, but human beings who have surrendered their lives to God and are His workmanship, that have allowed God through the power of His Spirit to write His laws in our hearts and in our minds. Now, there's a reason for that. In verse 10, of Hebrews 2, we read that it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. But God is in the process of bringing many sons unto glory. That is an incredible thing. Our destiny is to be part of the very family of God. Man is mortal. Man is made of the dust of the ground. But God will have a desire and does have a desire to the work of his hands. There's a spiritual creation in progress. And that spiritual creation begins when we surrender to God and ask him to work in us and to change us and to transform us, to renew us in our hearts and in our minds, to transform us from the inside out. But that transformation that takes place, that transformation that begins on the inside through the working of God's Spirit, is something that culminates in what we just read in Hebrews 2:10. God is bringing many sons unto glory. Can we really fathom the magnitude of what that means? The Apostle Paul discussed the same subject in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8 and down in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, speaking of God, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. The firstborn of many brethren. God is building a family. God is beginning to work in the lives of individuals. But he's going to complete that spiritual creation. Right now, he is developing his character in those who surrender to him. But ultimately, God is going to have a desire to all the work of his hands. He's bringing many sons unto glory. God is developing a family. Now, to fully understand that subject, to really answer that vital question of what is man, we want to once again invite you to request our free booklet. Our free booklet entitled Your Ultimate Destiny. This is a booklet that really explains why were you born? Why do you exist and draw breath on this planet? Are you simply the result of accident, of happenstance, of evolutionary chance? Or is there a great design and a great purpose? You don't want to miss this vital booklet. So pick up the phone right now and order your own free copy of Your Ultimate Destiny.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
What is man? He's mortal clay formed in the image of God, but with a destiny that transcends your wildest dreams. You see, God is going to complete the spiritual creation. He's bringing many sons unto glory. You know where that leads? Paul expresses it in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. We're told that God will change our vile bodies that it may be like his glorious body. He'll change our vile body to be fashioned like unto his, Christ's, glorious body. Jesus Christ right now is in power and glory. Revelation chapter 1 records how Jesus appeared to the Apostle John in power and glory. His face radiated like the sun. In great glory and great power, he appeared to the Apostle John. Our vile body, our body that is made of matter, our body that decays, our body that gets tired, our body that wears down, our body that eventually will die, is going to undergo a change. First, the change begins in the inner man. We are renewed. We become a new creation through the working of God's Spirit in us. We're His workmanship. The transformation begins on the inside. But at the resurrection, our vile body will be changed like unto His glorious body, because many sons are being brought to glory. There's a great destiny and a great purpose. The Apostle John explains it in 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. The sons of God, that's a family relationship. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. When we really understand the destiny of mankind, when we really understand the whole purpose for which we exist and draw breath, when we understand the reality of the spiritual creation, then we have a motive, we have a reason to strive to yield ourselves to Him, allowing Him to work in us, to change us, to transform us in anticipation of that time, when in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be changed. And we will be like Him. One of the sons of God brought to glory. We invite you to tune in every week when Dr. Meredith and Richard Ames will continue to share with you the exciting end time prophecies of your Bible. And they'll make plain the teachings of Jesus Christ. So be sure to join us again next week, right here, at the same time.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.